I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the 237 years of our nation's history, I don't know that there has been a more shameful day in the United States Senate than today. What we just witnessed was a travesty. It was a travesty to the United States Constitution, and it was a travesty to the American people. And it's important to understand why the Democrats did what they did. We're here on the Senate floor right now, but I want the record to reflect I'm going to do a very accurate count of the number of Democrats who are with us. That would be zero, other than the presiding officer, and somebody has to preside. Not a single Democrat senator chose to come to this floor and listen to one word of evidence.
Not a single senator came to the floor. We were already telling you yesterday. Watch Chuck Schumer simply dismiss this. Now, Senator Ted Cruz is very good at being very candid. But I'm going to say a little bit more. Senator Chuck Schumer proved to be a chicken net, that word. Yeah. He took the chicken stuff out. The way out of the door is just ignore it. As if it will go away. And since the Senate has to be the actual trial of anyone impeached, as it was delivered by the House, it has gone away. It's done. It's done. You may try to start it again, but until you have control of the Senate, you're not going to get even a hearing. The American people deserve to hear the reasoning as to why the House moved forward to impeach and hear the rebuttal. I want to see members of the U.S. Senate stand up and defend what Mayorkas and Biden have done, opening our border to invaders, unknown numbers of terrorists, uncounted numbers of children trafficked in for porn or whatever else. And we know daily 300 deaths minimum due to fentanyl that's been imported through our borders. I want some answers. Even if you don't end up impeaching Mayorkas, could you not at least do that for the American public? And the answer is no. You don't deserve any answers. We will make the decision for you. And so they did. And you heard the count as delivered by Senator Cruz, not a single Democrat senator, not a single one, took a position. All right, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. Here we are, April 18. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. I encourage you to watch. Many of you do. And then you also are sharing with others to have them watch. And I thank you for that. You can watch the streaming video at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And remember, everything after the program is over is put up as an audio and our video podcast available at LarryConnorsUSA.com. or Larry Connors USA Facebook. We make it very easy for you. So here we have the impeachment carried out against Mayorkas to the extent that the House said he should be tried on these charges. That's what the House does. It decides if there's enough to acquit like a grand jury. I should say acquit, indict like a grand jury. And they did. Well, Larry, it's controlled by Republicans, yeah, but not by much. And there have been enough weak-kneed Republicans that could have failed as well. But they moved forward with it. And they actually got support from Democrats because they believe that answers need to be made. And someone's got to be held accountable. Now, they might have also done it knowing that, hey, with my constituents, I can say, I did support it, but it went to the Senate and blamed the senators, not me. There are all kinds of games being played, and you're going to hear a battle royale coming up a little bit later in this hour between Congressman Comer and Congressman Raskin. I should say Raskins, because it's going to be one part of the argument coming up later. But the bottom line is, as far as Senator Ted Cruz said, the senators not only turned their back on the American public, but they ignored our Constitution.
When it comes to the Constitution, the Democrats concluded that Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas, defying federal law, ignoring the text of the statute, deliberately releasing criminal illegal aliens over and over and over again, that's just hunky-dory. You can't impeach him for that. Every Democrat just voted. By the way, every cabinet member, guess what? You've just been given a blank slate. Ignore the law. When Democrats are in charge of the Senate, the entire cabinet could ignore the law. It is no longer impeachable. In Democrat wonderland, when a member of the executive branch openly defies the law.
Openly defies the law. And I love the way he phrased it, in Democrat wonderland. Get your tickets right here. Get your tickets. Get on a ride for the Democrat Wonderland Express. We're going to go anywhere we want. And that would mean rolling right over the American people and the U.S. Constitution. This Democrat Party is not your father's and certainly not your grandfather's party. And that's why many Democrats are shifting away, or they're going to decide, they say, and they did in the primaries, we're going to vote for no other. They're not going to vote for Trump. They're not going to vote for Biden. And that could be critical. And some might go for RFK Jr. They might. Utah Senator Mike Lee pointing out another obvious point as to what happened yesterday.
What we've witnessed today is truly historic. This has never occurred. Nothing like this has ever occurred. You know, under Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6, we've been given a duty. We've been given this, the sole exclusive power to try all impeachments. Try all impeachments. Not some of them. Not just those with which we have happened to agree. Not just those that we are happy that the House of Representatives undertook to prosecute. But all. The word try is also significant. It refers to the word trial. It's the same word. It's a proceeding in which the law and the facts are presented to finders of fact in front of judges in order to reach an ultimate disposition. In a criminal proceeding, it would be an ultimate disposition culminating in a verdict of guilty or not guilty. We were precluded from doing that job today, and we were precluded from doing so in a way that is not only ahistoric and unprecedented, but also counter-constitutional.
And I would also say, shameful. Shameful. Let's turn this 180 degrees. What would have happened? Of course, the Democrats controlled the Senate at the time I'm going to address. But what if it were reversed? What would have happened if the House had passed impeachment articles against Donald Trump, as they did, not once but twice, and it goes to the Senate, and the Senate leadership, Mitch McConnell at that point, saying, we're not even going to have a hearing. We're just going to dismiss it and put it aside. Oh, there would be holy hell to pay. There would be rioting in the street, burning down buildings and businesses again, all in the name of calling for justice and law and order. Ironic, isn't it? Let's go back to my definition. My choice of words. Shameful. Once again, Senator Ted Cruz.
The majority leader didn't stand up and say, here's the reason why it's okay. No, he didn't present that argument. They didn't read a brief. Nobody wrote a brief. They didn't care enough to know what Senator Lee just laid out. that the Biden Department of Justice went in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and said if the executive defies the law, the answer is impeachment. The willingness of every Democrat to be blatantly hypocritical. Just last year, the Biden Justice Department said, no, you can't sue in court when we, the Biden administration, defy the law. The answer is impeachment. And like three-card Monty, every Senate Democrat said, no, the answer is not impeachment. I don't know what it is. Actually, I do know what it is. There's only one answer left, which is everyone who is unhappy about the open border shows up in November and, to use the phrase, throw the bums out.
Throw them out. And my assistant producer, Quentin, added another point, and I certainly agree. He said, the only way we got to where we are is because the media, the mainstream, or as I call them, state-controlled media, is complicit. They're egging this on. They're all for it. They're not challenging a single senator for what they failed to do. Not anyone inside the, quote, state-controlled media is raising any questions. They're smirking and smiling and popping champagne behind doors because they don't want you to know they have biased views. Well, before we wrap up this hour, you're going to hear from the CEO of NPR. You're not going to like what you hear. I'll tell you that right now. But you heard Cruz talking about what you need to do because of all these illegals, invasion, you need to throw the bums out. Well, that is going to be an issue, obviously, that we need to focus on. Another one that came to the forefront yesterday, it was House Speaker Mike Johnson pushing forward aid bills, which include money for Ukraine and Israel. But where is the firm stand that he supposedly dropped, along with other Republicans, but specifically him, when you're citing over and over again, no more money for Ukraine without money to close the border?
Welcome back. The House releasing the text of three foreign aid bills totaling more than $95 billion. It sends $60 billion to Ukraine, an additional $26 billion to Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. Speaker Mike Johnson also announcing the Rules Committee will release text on a border security bill, which will include measures such as remain in Mexico, fixing the broken asylum and parole processes, and rebuilding portions of the wall. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene says support is growing for her motion to oust the speaker. She posted this on X. Chuck Schumer bragged on the Senate floor about Speaker Johnson giving Democrats everything they want in the foreign war bill and for Ukraine. Johnson is not our speaker. He is theirs. The question is, how much longer will our conference tolerate this? But Speaker Johnson is not backing down.
Why are you willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage.
You're absolutely right. History's going to judge you for what you did. And Speaker Johnson, I am extremely disappointed in you. And there's another little piece of a story, a thread of it that's beginning to unravel. I'll come to that in a moment, that involves Johnson and maybe his decision-making processes. But before that, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds had his reaction.
This bill shouldn't pass the House, and for one very important reason. First and foremost, let's take Israel. We should support Israel. That funding should go through the House. That's something myself and a lot of other members have been imploring House leadership to do for a month now. We could have done it cleanly for a month, sent that to the Senate. If Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden want to veto that funding, that's on them. But Israel's our ally in the region, one of the longest standing allies in our country's history. We should stand behind them. When it comes to Ukraine, we've already sent $114 billion to Ukraine. Joe Biden is the one who has basically frittered that money away with no strategy, with delays on delivering material, no clear mission. And so what House leadership has told Republicans for about 8 to 9 months now is that there will be no more new Ukraine funding until we secure our southern border.
But the Ukraine Security Supplemental Appropriation Act, as it's titled, 49 pages, $61 billion, $61 billion. Again, Florida Congressman Donalds.
There will be no more new Ukraine funding until we secure our southern border. We're being told this week that, no, we have to give up that. We can't do it because of what's happening in Ukraine to this point. And I've told the leadership that the southern border is just as much of a national security crisis as is what's happening in Ukraine. We have to take care of home first. And once you do that, the votes would be there to support Ukraine. But the speaker and the leadership made a decision to not follow through on that promise that they made to House Republicans, and that puts us at the impasse we're at right now.
So is Speaker Johnson being tough enough?
Honestly, Maria, I do not believe that he is.
And you're not the only one that has that opinion of him at this point. Marjorie Taylor Greene has already stated she thinks we need to introduce a resolution to replace the speaker. I don't like that idea, and I'll tell you right now, Donald's doesn't either. And many others don't. While they don't like the situation, they don't want to go through this revolving door because it could end up that a Democrat, Hakeem Jeffries, would end up being the House Speaker of Republicans. No, we don't want that. Marjorie Taylor Greene did say, those of you who voted for more money for Ukraine, she said, you need to enlist members of Congress. You need to enlist to go to fight Ukraine with Ukraine against Russia if you really believe in it. Of course, they're not going to. But the threat does continue to remove Johnson. As I said, Donald's is against it. A question from Maria.
What's going on with Speaker Johnson in these meetings when you're not there? I mean, why is he doing flip-flops?
Look, I can't speak to what's happening in the meetings when I'm not in the room. When I happen to be in some of these rooms, I think the speaker's trying to get all the information to make a decision. But I'm just going to be blunt with you, Maria. I think he's getting bad advice from his team, from his staff. I think there is bad advice coming from other members on Capitol Hill who are trying to accomplish the thing that they're trying to accomplish and not looking at the totality of all of the issues, not just facing Republicans, but facing the American people. And last but not least, on Capitol Hill, this isn't really about politics. It is about bare knuckles negotiations. And so you got to be able to look other people in the eye and demonstrate to them that you are serious about your position and that nothing else can move forward until that position is either addressed or at a minimum seriously debated. All you have to do is look at what the Senate did yesterday with Mayorkas. They refused to have even serious debates on the Senate floor about these issues.
And they shut it down. They shut it down. Now, here's a thread I was telling you about that might start to unravel what's happening with Mike Johnson. This is according to The Hill. The Hill publication says an inside story is his top policy advisor for Mike Johnson is a former lobbyist whose clients include a large number of major companies who have issued corporate statements indicating some kind of interest in the war because they're going to make money on the Ukraine-Russian conflict. Could that be the reasoning, the rationale? That Johnson sold out or is just accepting the word of his advisor who is previously a lobbyist? In the next hour is also some language in the bills that is a loophole for Biden to rewrite a specific requirement. That's in our next hour. Before this hour is over, proof NPR leadership cares about the truth only as they see it. And up next, verbal brawling in Congress between Congressman Comer and Raskin. Hey, let me tell you something. Get your popcorn ready to watch and listen to Congress in Action. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Our colleagues at various points called this a smoking gun, said it showed proof that the Bidens took bribes and so on. Chairman Jason Smith, for example, said this was a smoking gun and it was the definitive proof that that the Bidens took bribes. It's obviously been dropped, and yet this was the genesis of our investigation. How do we understand?
That's just simply not true, but go ahead.
I'll yield to the chairman if you want to take some more time.
No.
Well, you can use your time.
Are you saying the bank statements are Russian disinformation, that the Bidens took $9,000 from China?
Oh, I agree you've been talking about bank statements for more than a year, but they don't show anything other than there was no crime.
So it's okay for, as Tony Bobulinski said, for China to bribe Joe Biden's family with $9 million.
But that's the lie that's been discredited. I mean, where is your impeachment investigation? If Joe Biden took a $9 million bribe from China, why aren't you impeaching him for that?
Well, who says we're not?
I love that. Who says we're not? Of course, we know what would happen if they impeached him right now. Based on what we saw happen with the Mayorkas impeachment yesterday, did we not? Yes. I'll just simply dismiss it. Look away. Nothing to see here. That is Maryland Congressman Raskin, along with Kentucky Congressman James Comer. They are part of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee hearing yesterday. Comer is the chair of the committee, and Raskin a co-chair. And they were supposed to be discussing, and they had been discussing up to that point, a hearing that was the purpose of the Chinese Communist Party and its influence on our nation, our politics, our culture, everything. That was the intent. That was what it was scheduled for. But then you found Raskin finding an opportunity to kind of slip in something reference Trump, because saying also, you know, you guys have been going after Biden and I just don't see anything. When Congressman Raskin found a way to bring in Trump and then claim that Comer's investigation into Biden is dead in the water, I'm telling you, at that point, the theater and the drama got even bigger.
You want to move for impeachment today? Because I thought that was your main agenda item. You said it was the paramount priority of the committee.
No, this is a hearing on China, and you all have an obsession with Russia and Trump. It's disturbing.
We can talk
you
about China
therapy.
And Trump or Russia
you all
and
need,
Trump.
He's you got need therapy. Mr. Raskin.
No, no. You need therapy. You're the one who's involved with the deranged politician, not me, okay? I've divorced myself from Donald Trump a long time ago. You're the one who needs to disentangle from that situation. And I will tell you this. If you believe that it would have been illegal for Joe Biden to take $5 million from Ukraine, it certainly would have been. What do you think about Donald Trump taking more than $5 million from the Chinese government while he was president?
Well, we know that Donald Trump had a legitimate business that he talked about and he campaigned
the
on.
The legitimate business was the White House.
What business,
he sold the White House.
What? Oh, give me a break.
He was president.
What business were the Bidens in? Well, what business did Joe Biden's family own? What business were they in? Did they have hotels? Did they have a social media company? Did they have golf courses? Did they have casinos? Did they have office
buildings? Mr. Chairman.
What business? Did they have an energy
company? Mr. Chairman, we have spent tens of millions of dollars pursuing Joe Biden, and you have not identified
a
single crime.
You are lying.
Really?
That's a lie. We have not spent $10 million.
Hey, how much have you spent?
We haven't spent hardly anything.
Oh, it's been for free. Okay. All right. Well, in any event, you know what? Then we get what we paid for because you got nothing.
Joe Biden. No, no, answer
you,
this
not
question.
Named a
answer
single
this
crime.
Question. No, you what answered. Did the Bidens do? What business were they in?
What business were they in? There was no such business other than the Biden influence. And, of course, you have that question that Raskin asked, you know, stating you spent all this money in. Comer said, we didn't spend near that much. We spent barely anything. Which brings, of course, to the other question is, how much was spent on investigating Trump? I'm looking here, and I'm trying to see if I can find an updated number, because I've been on this throughout the day getting ready for the program, and I keep finding various sources, and it's estimated. Here's one estimate. From CNN and NNN. So let's take their word for it. The Justice Department spent nearly $24 million investigating and prosecuting former President Donald Trump, according to expense reports. Again, that's CNN and NNN. Now, Raskin just said that Comer and them had spent $10 million. Comer says that's not true. He didn't give a number. But he says it's not $10 million. I'll tell you this, if he had spent $10 million compared to the $24 million, according to CNN, spent by the Democrats to go after Trump, it's not a lot of money, is it? But darn it, Larry, you're letting the facts get in the way of a good narrative and a good story. But if you think the bickering between the two, and they're seated right beside each other, they're almost eye to eye. I mean, no one is going to throw a punch physically, but they're not through trading barbs.
Here, sit down, everybody, come back. This is about China. We asked a simple question. No, Ms. Presley, you're out of order. Sit down.
Mr. Chairman.
You're out of order.
Mr. Chairman.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Where is it?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Can I make a motion that we take a break for 5 minutes?
I don't think
we're going to keep going. We'll let the record show that Mr. Raskins could not answer the question.
First of all, Biden received the money. Let me start with this. My last name is Raskin, okay? We've sat next to each other for more than a year. You don't have to add the S. Number two, I would like my time restored. And number three,
you have not identified a single crime.
No. Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going? Well, why? What is the crime? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out very soon.
You're about to find out. In the meantime, this word just breaking. Raskin has now filed impeachment charges against Comer for calling him Raskins. You put an S on my name. I'm going to impeach you. No. That'd be just a bit too far, wouldn't it? Maybe Comer puts the S on the end of it, because everything Raskin says is stuff. You think? Kind of like Adam Schiffless, only it's Jamie Raskin. Raskins. I'm going to make that my point going forward. For now on, I'm going to call him Raskins just because, obviously, he doesn't like it. Well, good. You can call me Connors. Oh, well, I have an S. Look, there was a lot of heat and smoke. And, of course, in the end, nothing was really being accomplished with this verbal sparring back and forth. But it's a clear message of what's happening inside Congress right now. We are at a dysfunctional level. We're so polarized. And the other side, and you have to admit, the Republicans have their role in it as well. We're always kind of trying to gig the other guy a little bit. You know, if I can just kind of poke him a little bit and see what happens, rather than getting the people's work done. So, Larry, who do you side with? You want to ask me that? Okay, I side with the fact that Raskin was the one who pulled the trigger first and started trying to roll everything into, once again, you have nothing on Biden. When it was the idea, the hearing was dealing with Chinese communist influence on our nation. And up to that point, from what I've seen and gone back over, unless I missed it, Comer did not bring up Biden's name in any kind of Chinese influence peddling. Raskin did it and then turned it around to make it about Trump as well. I want to go back to a couple thoughts about House Speaker Mike Johnson, because I was telling you, the Hill is reporting that maybe the reason he flip-flopped on Ukraine aid, starting with his top policy advisor, who's a former lobbyist, that'd be Dan Ziegler, until he joined the Speaker's office as top policy aide right after Johnson won the speakership last year. He was a lobbyist with the firm Williams & Jensen, previously working with Johnson in other capacities. Left Johnson, became a lobbyist, got a client list. They include several top competitive companies that all have a financial interest in seeing Congress pass Ukraine aid. I'm not saying Johnson sold out because of that, but I'm saying the whisper in his ear is coming from a guy who has vested interest and did with these other companies and will again once he leaves office. And then you add to this, even on CNN, Jake Tapper had Speaker Johnson on last night, and he added, "You've always been fair." Ooh. On one hand, I'd like to say that's a backhanded compliment. Larry, you've never looked better. What? Larry, you never sounded better. What? But when Jake Tapper tells Speaker Johnson, "You've always been fair," that's a slap in the face. Johnson, I'm sure, thanked him. Coming up, ESPN host Stephen A. Smith basically calling Democrats cowards, weak, ineffective. But is he really? I think he's really trying to push them to... Well, you listen and you decide when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beale started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beale Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
And then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire Moving.
This is News Talk STL.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, do you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come
just
home.
Just a little bit.
Hey, baby.
Just a little
when
bit.
When you get home, just a little bit.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
To my liberal friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat them on the issues and the merits. That's why he keeps saying it's a political campaign against me. That's why he keeps saying they can't beat me at the election, at the polls. This is the only way they could do it. And if you don't put him in jail and he still goes from being a presumptive GOP nominee to the official GOP nominee and he goes to the polls, even though he was going to whine about winning and being rigged again, you have given more fodder to that argument, which means we'll never have peace in this country because tens of millions of people see what extent the other side is willing to go through just to keep him out of office because they can't beat him on their own merits. And they're going to say, hey, you trumped this up against him again. And we'll have no peace when all you got to do is figure out a way to beat him on the issues. But you haven't been able to do it.
That's a call out by Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, I should say, ESPN host, to his fellow liberals. You got to do something about Trump, and you're not doing it. You're not able to get him. You got him tried up in all these trials and everything, but you haven't done anything yet. And you know an update on the trial, speaking of that? The seated jurors in the Trump trial are down to five. Down to five. They're still trying to get a full jury, and then they're going to need at least one alternate. They got two more excused. Apparently, records of a person with the same name as one juror was arrested for tearing down political ads in the 90s. Another juror was dismissed earlier. So after all this, they're down to five when they started this week to try to put it together. It's going to drag out. And they started with just under 100. Can you find somebody suitable that is willing to be unbiased, even if they are biased, willing to accept the facts and not propaganda? In that area of New York City? Of course you can't. But you're not going to let him have a change of venue. You're going to make sure he stays there. That's the judge's ruling. Now, I told you yesterday, former Attorney General William Barr had stated that the case against Trump right now that's underway in New York is obviously political, an abomination. He said they're bringing charges that they could have brought years earlier. Years earlier. Why wait until now? Oh, the election. Oh, that's right. As Barr said, it's obviously political 7 years after he pays hush money to try and come up with this case. And then he added, Barr, who's had criticism against the former commander-in-chief, former boss, and Trump has criticized him, He said, the real threat to liberty, the real threat to our system, are the excuses of the progressive left. They are perverting the system of justice, and that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left. And then he said, I will be voting for Trump again. It was Stephen A. Smith that said, basically, those out there on the left, you're not doing your job. You're too weak. Whoopi Goldberg weighing in on her program, The View, with her ladies, stating, well, Republicans are afraid of information and history, and they're snowflakes. Yeah, she's calling Republicans snowflakes. In fact, co-host Sonny Hostin said, I think Republicans, if I'm right, can only lose one vote. They really need to do the work of the people. That's what they were sent to do. I never heard her call that out when they were all pushing for the inquiry and impeachment of Trump. Never heard her one time complain about that or anyone else. But Goldberg then stated, these little snowflakey people, they're the people who said, you know, oh, you can't take it, huh? You can't take the heat? She said, I'm discovering most folks on the other side are snowflakes. Snowflakes are really, they're taking that term and turning it around. You know that. Republicans have been calling snowflakes for these woke liberals that, oh, my God, I'm triggered because a police officer came into the coffee shop and I could see his pistol and it frightened me. I need to go to a safe place with a coloring book for a couple of hours or so. But they're going to take that snowflake word. Whoopi's going to turn it around and use it against them. And meanwhile, the damage Joe Biden and his administration are doing to our country continue, illegals invading our nation. And as I've told you before, I never want anyone, even if it's a deep blue Democrat, progressive, regressive, regressive, progressive, I don't want them or their family to be harmed. But an accident the other day happened, and it's fallen right back into the face of a blue politician. It was a wreck. Here's the story.
A victim of a deadly hit-and-run crash over the weekend has been identified as a longtime staffer of U.S. Senator from Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto.
Yeah, the medical examiner's office confirmed 38-year-old Kurt Engelhardt died in the crash on Saturday. According to investigators, his car was hit early Saturday morning near Peckham and Kitsky Lanes by a suspected impaired driver. In a statement, Senator Cortez Masto writes in part, quote, Kurt was always eager to help a constituent at a moment's notice. He touched many lives, and I know almost everyone in Northern Nevada has a great story about Kurt helping them or making them laugh, end quote. As we've reported, police arrested 18-year-old Elmer Rueda Linares, who's accused of hitting him. Police say he ran off after the crash, but was eventually caught.
And it turned out he's an illegal. So a Democrat senator from Nevada, one of her staffers, dead now, because of an illegal who should not have been in the country, according to police, was driving drunk and caused the wreck, and then ran from the scene. Okay, maybe they didn't catch the right guy who ran from the scene, but an illegal is being charged with a crime. Odds are it's going to come down that it was him, and I don't hear suddenly those on the left saying, you know, we do need to be worried about illegals in our country that are causing crimes and getting away and leading to death, and in this case, a member of the Nevada senator's staff. Recently, as you know, NPR editor Yuri Berliner outlined all the issues at NPR, and then he resigned, fired, whatever. Basically, he exposed the truth inside NPR News leadership, how NPR was weaponized for liberal use. In a recent speech, the NPR CEO, Catherine Maher, told her audience, the truth are what she says is the truth.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt
or a disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
No, no, no. The truth shall set you free, as it's stated. So you can't find common ground because of the truth. Facts are facts. And if the fact is a truth, it's there. You want to deny it? You want to say, well, that's going to cause a divide between us. It doesn't change the fact it's true. But here you have the NPR CEO saying, you know, the truth is kind of, you know, it's this thing out there, and it maybe we shouldn't be searching for the truth because maybe we need to realize that the truth might actually divide us more. Well, so be it. The truth is the Civil War was over slavery. You can call it a war between the states and states' rights. That was part of it, but the main issue was the states wanted to make their decision about slavery, and the proclamation was, we're going to end slavery. And you want to find another thing you don't like in particular, like the Holocaust? You want to deny the Holocaust? The fact is, it happened. That's the truth. So that divides you, right? Now you want to talk about Israel? Go to the Bible. You'll find that land was Israeli and Jewish, not Palestinian. That's the fact. Oh, but that divides us. We don't want that truth. Oh, so you don't really want the truth, do you? I have shared with you, I've stated it directly, a sister who does not like Trump, hates him, would never do anything in support of him. The truth is, she thinks, in her mind of the truth, because that's what this NPR editor is talking about, that Trump has done all this damage to the country. The fact is, he did not. I mean, the fact is clear. You want to go down the list? How many illegals were coming into the country under Trump and continuing to come in under Trump? How many times did we put money and oil into our reserves rather than suck it out to buy some votes? How many times have we basically been strong on law and order with Trump? And then when I did raise with her a fact that you do know that illegals are getting credit debit cards in New York City, $1,000 a month, my brother taught me to always ask for a source, reference me. Where did you come up with that? I sent her an article from CNN and CBS News stating exactly what I just told you. I know sometimes we don't like the truth. You don't like the facts, but simply ignoring them and walking away or trying to find some way to avoid them, it's right back to what we've discussed in many ways. You put that lipstick on the pig, it's still going to be a pig. But here you have the CEO of NPR saying, but maybe we can find a way to polish it and refine it so it would be acceptable to everyone because it's coming from a trusted source. Like NPR, BS card being pulled here, but let her continue.
Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
You know, there you have it right there. If you're saying we have different truths and you're not accepting that the truth has to be a fact, that's true. But that's not really truths. That's beliefs. It's not truths. It's beliefs. Now, if you believe in it and you believe it's true, that's a different thing entirely. But if you're just simply looking for an answer and discussion about what is true, what do the facts show you? My God, how many times did they lecture us, including Dr. Fake? Follow the science. That's the truth. But then they kept changing that truth, didn't they? And therefore changing the facts, or the facts never existed. They created them and told you that was the truth, and it's factual. Yes, people can have a different view of a truth. I can believe the best ice cream in the world is chocolate vanilla swirl. Joe Biden could say pistachio is the best. That's his truth, and he sticks to it, and I stick to mine. Factually, I can't really prove it factually. Neither can he. And others may join me or not, or him, or have a different view. But if you're always going to polish it up and say, what's the truth as you see it? It is not the truth as you see it. The truth is the truth. They just don't seem to get it. Mark Twain, obviously of Missouri, stating, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. You don't have to remember how do I polish it, how do I spin it. It's the truth. Coming up, the truth of what Joe Biden can do regarding money for Ukraine, and it's hiding in plain sight, right there in plain sight. That story coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.